who would gather his chickens to himself. And the psalmist says in the 8th verse of the 17th psalm, "Keep me as the apple of thy eye, hide me under the shadow of thy wings." You know, beloved, if you could see tonight that finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ and all that he had accomplished for you there at Calvary's cross, and you were willing to come to him and say to him tonight, "Hide me under the shadow of your wings. Keep me as the apple of your eye." Tonight, salvation would be yours. He can hide us, and he can give us that place of refuge because of the work that he's accomplished. You know, Moses one day, I believe, took a look around him. He saw what man was and what man did. He saw man in all their sin, and undoubtedly Moses saw himself too, and he said, "Lord, show me thy glory." And the Lord said, "All right, Moses, there is a place by me. I'll set your feet on a rock. I'll hide you in the cleft of the rock, and I'll cover you over with my hand." And then he said, "I'll pass by, and you can look on my back parts and see my glory, for no man could look upon God and live." And I've often thought about the place of refuge that the Lord gave to Moses that day. For surely the glory of God is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we want to see that, then we'll have to come to him. And if we want a place of refuge, a place of hiding in the day of judgment, then we'll have to come to him too. So David over and over could speak of the Lord as my rock of my salvation. In other words, when we come to Christ, God has got a sure place for us that's on the rock. And when he places us on that rock, he's going to give us that song. He's going to give us a new song. It'll be a rejoicing and a joy in our heart. He put Moses on a rock. He said, "That was a place by me." And you know, when Christ finished the work, when he finished the work at Calvary's cross, the redemptive work that he accomplished for sin, and he was buried, and then he arose again from that grave. He did ascend into high, on high. He sat himself down on the merit of a finished work at the right hand of the Majesty on high. The work was done. There was no more to do. It was completed. And because the work was completed, he could sit. Now, when a work is usually done, if I walk over and close that door, the door would be closed and I could come back and sit down because the work of closing that door would be finished. And when Jesus Christ went to Calvary's cross and there he laid down his life, he finished the work, the redemptive work that sin might be accounted for. He took the penalty of your sin and mine there at Calvary's cross. He died for sinners. And when he died for sinners, he opened up a way of refuge. That way of refuge was through himself. He said in John's Gospel, chapter 10 and verse 9, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." That's an absolute statement. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He gives us the promise of salvation in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you interested tonight in being hid in a place of refuge? That's on a rock, and that's in the cleft of the rock. The rock was cleft when Jesus Christ went to Calvary. There's where the rock was pierced, and was pierced for you and me. I understand that out in the St. Lawrence, in the mouth of it, that there is a great rock out there that they call the Pierced Rock, that it has an opening in that rock great enough for the small boats to come in a time of storm and to row up and go inside the rock. That when they're inside the rock and the storm hammers on that rock, they're safe and secure from the storm. There's a storm of judgment coming one day. God says it is appointed on the man once to die, but after death, the judgment. And you know, if your sin hasn't been accounted for in this scene, and you haven't seen a crucified Christ as the one who bore the judgment for your sin, then, beloved, you're going to have to bear it through all eternity. Through all eternity. And you know the storm of judgment will never be stayed. Oh, I think of my Savior there at the cross when they lifted Him between heaven and earth. And we sing it sometimes, Jehovah lifted up His rod, O Christ, it fell on Thee. You know, when God dropped the rod of His judgment, it fell upon His Son. And His bosom became my wound. He bore all ill for me. I'm so thankful tonight that at Calvary's cross, Jesus Christ bore the rod of God's wrath for my sin. And now when death comes, judgment has been cared for. Jesus Christ took it for me at Calvary's cross. But friend, if you have no place of refuge tonight, make sure you understand, as our brother reminded us, there will be a day of judgment. There is a place of God's wrath. God's wrath. It's going to be poured out in the sense of His wrath here on this scene after the rapture. And men, as they see that wrath during the tribulation time, are going to cry for the rocks and the hills, the mountains to fall on us and hide us from the wrath of the Lamb that sits on the throne. Isn't it amazing that one day there was a Lamb nailed to Calvary's cross, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, that beareth away the sin of the world. But one day that Lamb is going to sit on a throne, and His wrath is going to be poured here out upon this earth. Wrath is something that comes upon. But judgment is there eternally in the lake of fire. Those that face His wrath here will know His judgment forever. And if you should refuse His grace and His refuge, and you refuse that place of His shelter covered over under the shadow of His wings, then there's no hiding place. No place in the rock, but a place in eternal fire. Oh, beloved, we've got too light a view, I think, of what hell is. We take too light a view of what an eternity in a lake of fire would be. One day at Davenport, I went out behind the chapel. There had been some plastic bags in a barrel, and I remember sticking my hand down in that barrel. Somebody had ignited it, and it didn't burn, and I thought I could pull the things out. And I stuck my hand down in that barrel, and that plastic wrapped around my fingers, and it burned them. I couldn't get the plastic off. And that night, as I laid there in bed, I had packed those fingers in ice and everything, and the burning was there. And it kept on burning and burning, and I thought, what would an eternity lost, an eternity in the judgment of the lake of fire be like? What would it be like to find no release and find no escape? But beloved, there is an escape today. Oh, I'm so thankful for the grace of God. He's extended it till tonight. He's extended His day of grace till tonight. And you know, you can be set on that rock. You can be hidden in the cleft of the rock. Then He said to Moses, I'll cover you over with my hand. And I think of those words that we were reminded of earlier, that John quotes to us, or John brings to us, when the Lord Jesus Himself said, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And my Father which gave them me is greater than all. No man shall pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Oh, hidden in Christ and covered over with the hand of the Father. Beloved, there's a fourfold security that can be yours tonight. Eternal life, never perish. In the hand of the Son, covered over with the hand of the Father. A blessed place of refuge. But look, the psalmist as well says that there's more to that. If you come Look at the 36th Psalm. He says, "How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wing." Blessed place. The children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasure. For with thee is the fountain of life, and in thy light shall we see light. Beloved, there's a place of refreshment under his wings. Covered over with his feathers. Oh, there's a place of refuge there. The story comes to mind of the man whose barn burnt down. And when it was burned down, and he walked back in that barn to see what was left. And he saw a charred mass there, and as he walked up in, he kicked it with his foot. And as that charred mass rolled over, out from underneath it came several beautiful little yellow chicks, still in their fuzz that they were born with, protected from the fire, protected from the judgment, because they were covered with the wings. And you know, that's the place we have, a place of refuge from judgment. But when you receive Christ as a Savior, there's a place of refreshment. A place that you'll never run dry. He says, they shall be satisfied with the fatness of that house. Oh, bless your heart. God's going to give to us. In fact, he's given to every one of us that believe the fatness of his house. He's given us Christ. And it is in and through him that every one of us as children of God become fat, because he's the bread of life. And he's the water of life. He's our life and our sustenance for all eternity. Will you come to him? You know, when you come and you come for that place of refreshment, he said, with thee is the fountain of life. Remember that woman at the well who was there that day, so thirsty? Wonder what she was thirsting for. She came after the physical water, but her life showed that she was thirsty for other things, those pleasures of life and those lusts of the flesh. But she came and she met the fountain of life there. She met Christ. And he said, "Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him, the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto eternal life." That woman had a drink at that well. And you know what I read? When the Lord Jesus, when she said, we know the Messiah shall come and he'll teach us all things. And he said, "I that speak unto thee am he." And she left her water pot and she went back to the city. That woman found a fountain of life. She found refreshment. Beloved, I want to say tonight, maybe your heart's hungry. You've been looking in this scene for something to satisfy. And in the longing and the search for your satisfaction, your heart has still stayed empty. And when you tried all the broken cisterns of the world, and you went after everything your heart desired, in the end the waters were stale. And you were still without satisfaction. He says, they shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house. You know how satisfied? Let's go back to the 17th Psalm. A man who has the total refreshment in Christ, verse 15, can say this, "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness." Huh. Oh, beloved, satisfied. Totally. When we awake with his likeness. But our brother was reminded us of that invitation and our response to come. You notice the psalmist is saying here, "As for me." That's personal. That's personal. Salvation is personal. Salvation was given to the individual. It is, "As for me." Oh, the Word of God says in John 3:16 that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It is to the world, but it's to whosoever. Salvation is to all, but it is upon all that believe. Will you find your satisfaction in the person of the Lord Jesus? And can you say tonight, as for me, I will what? Behold thy face. I'm looking forward to that day when I behold his face and I behold it in righteousness. I'm glad that he imputes righteousness to the sinner the moment the sinner believes. He said, Abraham believed God, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. He says in his word, he's going to present us one day, holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. And I see myself back off, and I look at that glory of the throne and I say, holy? Yes, he says, holy. Holy because of the work of my Son. Holy because of the righteousness I imputed to you because of faith. Unblameable, Lord. Nothing to your charge. Holy. Unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. A couple weeks ago at Lake Geneva at a youth camp was a young lady put her trust in the Lord Jesus. And then that night she had some horrible dreams. She was dreaming that the rats were coming at her, biting her body. And then as they would bite her body, she'd throw them back. And they'd come back and bite her body and she'd throw them back again. And that girl began to rave in her sleep. And then they tried to awaken her and couldn't awake her. And they began to think she was demon-possessed and many things. Well, the girl was actually sick and she's in the hospital today. The doctor says she has a good chance of having the same disease that Onassis died with. And she's paralyzed today from the waist down. But you know, I went to that young lady and I sat and talked to her in the infirmary that day. And she said to me, oh, Mr. Rutley, I'm glad I can know that Christ died for my sin, and I believe that. But she said, still within me, I feel the guilt. And every time I say he died for my sin, there's something that says in me, what about the guilt? And I remember one day of visiting a young woman in Iowa City. And she said, oh, Mr. Rutley, that's what's so heavy upon me. It's a guilt of my sin. But you know, beloved, the Lord's taking care of the guilt. He says in Romans 5:1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, being made not guilty, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, beloved, there's rest. And there's behold his face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. But you know, I think in the 91st Psalm, we see the psalmist of thinking of doing battle, and we were reminded of that today. Oh, but we go through this scene and we wonder about the battle we shall have to fight. And the things that are around here. Listen to that resting place. Verse 4 of Psalm 91. Verse 3 says, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Will be thy shield and thy buckler. We've got a place. From the snare. We've got a place that he'll deliver us from that snare. That he'll deliver us from the wicked one. That he'll deliver us from the lion who sits in the way and the adder in the path. He says, there's rest in Him. I'll be your shield and I'll be your buckler. Child of, you're looking for a Savior to... that you can have a resting place covered over with His feathers under His wings. He'll be your shield. He'll be your buckler. He'll be your defense. He'll be all you need. He'll be all you need. And you know what? When you do come, He's going to put something in your heart. And He gives me that, I believe it is, in the 63rd Psalm. Verse 6 says, when I remember Thee on my bed, and I meditate on Thee in the night watches, because Thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of Thy wings will I rejoice. There's rejoicing. There's rejoicing for everyone that comes to Him. That rejoicing is found in that near place, though. It's under the shadow of His wings. Our brother reminded us as he stood over Jerusalem and wept, they would not. They didn't want His wings. They didn't want His refuge. They didn't want His refreshment. They didn't want His rest. They didn't want His rejoicing. And He said, therefore, your house is left unto you desolate. Now, if you want it tonight, He says, come. Blessed invitation. He invited Noah to come into the ark, and when Noah came in, God shut the door. Judgment fell. Noah's safe and secure. Isaiah says, come, let's reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Come, you're an intellectual. You want to reason? He said, all right, sit down. But come. Reason together with His truth. That'll be your shield, your buckler. The Lord has said it. Come. You're weary tonight? Got a heavy burden? I'm amazed at how many of our teenagers have heavy burden. Heavy burden. You know, I was kind of like our brother here. As a boy, not to a measure, and being put in foster home, but I lost my own father when he walked out one day. And it was a day in my own life when David's word became precious to me. When father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. And you know there's been a refuge and a hiding place in Him.
Amen.
He'll take you up if you'll come. I find so many teenagers today who are just in those conditions of broken homes. Teenagers who are in the burdens of the peer group, wanting to answer to it, and yet knowing that there is another way, and a better way that they should follow, and they're burdened down. The Lord says, if you're burdened tonight, come. Come to Him. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. The last invitation in this book that's given. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Him that is athirst, let him come. And let him drink of the waters of life freely. Will you come? Will you come? He's worthy. Oh, our brother has given us such glorious, excellent words of His worthiness. He's worthy. Oh, we're so unworthy. So unworthy. I can't understand why He could ever love a sinner like me. And yet He has. And it's made a rejoicing in my heart. He's worthy of your trust. He's proved His love. People say, oh, if God had only come and prove Himself today, then I'd believe. He proved it. He proved His love immeasurable. Immeasurable. He laid down His life for His enemy. You and I. And He invites us to come tonight. You know, you can come to Him right where you are. You won't have to get out of your seat. But there's something that lives within. A will. An emotion. And both of them are needed. Your heart in love toward Him because of what He's done in a response to that love. and a will that says, Lord, I will believe. I will come. Will you come? No. We're going to pray together. And as we pray, I want to extend that invitation that He's extended to you. Come. You pray. You tell the Lord Jesus, if you believe tonight, if you really believe it with all your soul and heart, that you're a lost sinner headed for hell, but you believe He took your penalty and that He took your judgment, you'll trust Him with your soul, even as we pray together. And then before you go out that door tonight, tell somebody you've trusted Him. It's with the heart man believes to righteousness, but it's with the mouth confession is made to salvation. Will you come and pray, even as we pray together? I'm going to give you 30 seconds in silent prayer. You pray.